wish I had time were available to say what I could say about each one of these men, but as I call their names, I'm going to ask them to stand that they may be recognized. Dr. Leslie H. Campbell, President of Campbell College. Dr. Bruce E. Whitaker, President of Chowan College. Dr. Eugene E. Poston, President of Gardner-Webb College. Dr. Fred Bentley, President of Mars Hill College. Dr. Bruce Heilman, President of Meredith College. Dr. Harold W. Tribble, President of Wake Forest College. And Dr. Bud E. Smith, President of Wingate College. Now, in addition to these men, we have several members of the General Board, members of our council on the platform, and some of the chairmen of the boards of trustees of our colleges, and I'm going to ask them to stand at this time. Thank you very much. And now we turn the program back over to Mr. Thomas.
In the body of the report, you will notice that North Carolina Baptist colleges have North Carolina Baptist colleges have new presidents this year. You have been hearing them already and know about them. It is also true that two of our colleges will be losing the presidents who have been with them, as were the presidents of Meredith and Mars Hill, through the very trying and exacting period of time that has followed World War II, all the enormous changes that have come in the situation, the status of our colleges. At this time, we will recognize the secretary of our North Carolina Baptist State Convention, Dr. W. Perry Crouch, who will have something more to say about these two stalwart men who have served us so well. Dr. Crouch.
Mr. President. Dr. Campbell, would you come forward, please? The name Campbell has been a wonderful name among North Carolina Baptists for more than a half a century. It's now my happy privilege to represent you and all of North Carolina Baptists in recognizing the 33 years of service of Dr. Leslie H. Campbell as president of Campbell College. During these years, Campbell College has gone from an academy to a junior college to a great senior college of more than 2,200 students. He has led in the construction of many new buildings and every type of improvement necessary for a great senior college. He has guided this institution during a Great Depression, a tragic world war, and then during the population explosion to a great senior college. He has known what it meant to fight for enough money to live from week to week. He has also known the joy of finishing a million-dollar campaign successfully for a much-needed new library wing. He has had the joy of seeing his academy grow to a great senior college and take its place as one of the great educational institutions of our state. Dr. Campbell, because of your announcement to retire as president, it gives me great pleasure on behalf of the Baptist people of North Carolina, and especially on behalf of this assembled convention, to present to you a little token of our appreciation for 33 years of service as president of Campbell College.
God bless you.
Dr. Harold Tribble came to the presidency of Wake Forest College with an excellent Baptist background. He was not only a graduate of our Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, but a professor there for many years. He was the author of a book called What Baptists Believe that has been studied by thousands of people across our convention. Later, he was president of Andover Newton Theological Seminary. He came to the presidency of Wake Forest College at a very difficult period in its history. Already, our convention had approved the removal of the college to Winston-Salem. But the task of planning a new campus and enlarging the faculty was the difficult task of Dr. Tribble. He had to deal with all of the varied attitudes towards such a move, and there were many of them. These would have broken the spirit and health of many men. It was a tremendous task. The beautiful campus of the new Wake Forest in Winston-Salem, representing many millions of dollars in money secured for this purpose, indicates something of the diligent work and great ability of this educator. Surely Dr. Tribble can feel a sense of satisfaction over the accomplishment of the past 17 years as president of this institution. Dr. Tribble, in keeping with the announcement of your imminent retirement, and in behalf of the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina, I'm happy to present this silver bowl as a token of our sincere appreciation of service of your services as president of Wake Forest College from 1950 until 1967.
Thank you. Thank you, my friends. I feel simply bowled over.
These colleges have more than presidents. They have trustees. Sometimes they are like boards of deacons, for which we are always grateful. And as the chairman of the trustees of Wake Forest College, I would like to present to you Mr. Maurice Hill, who comes at this time to express something of his concern. Brother Hill.
Brother Tomlinson, Mr. President, I come to make a simple announcement today at the suggestion of friends, because they have said that you have shown your concern, and we hope this means your great interest in the future of this institution. And people have asked, what is the situation at Wake Forest? I'm happy to tell you that we feel that it is healthy, a very fertile situation, one of work and planning and hope for the future, and one in which the faculty, the Board of Trustees, the alumni, and all the friends of the institution seem to be more united, perhaps, than at any time in recent years. Now, during this difficult period when we have wrestled with the problem and have reluctantly and with gratitude for his service accepted the decision of Dr. Tribble to retire and refresh his body and spirit for new efforts, we have been in constant consultation from time to time with your leaders, the officers of the convention and of the general board, and we have had their counsel and their support. Now, during this coming year, as we look for a new president, and as we move forward to university status in accordance with the wishes of this convention and the trustees, as often stated, we will need these continued counsels, your prayers, and the assistance of these men, and perhaps the considered action of the convention. We feel confident as we stand at this milestone and look backward with gratitude for the past and face the future with faith and courage for the task, and with commitment to the cause, that we will have your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. The chairman of the deacons will be real nice about these things when we face them on these matters. I'm sure that what he has said about the trustees at Wake Forest College looking for our counsel, our friendship, our prayers, is true also of the trustees at Campbell College, as they will be seeking a successor to Dr. Leslie Campbell. Now, on page 69 of your book of reports, you will see that the combined enrollment of all of our colleges this year has reached the staggering total of 11,647. I shall not attempt to break this down, simply calling this to your attention, the fact that not only is it here, but there are other places you can find the information about the enrollment. And this, of course, represents the service that our schools are rendering to our people. And you will understand by this why it is that so many children, young people, who want to go to one of these schools simply can't get in, because there are so many more and there are not enough beds. Colleges and hospitals seem to be having a trouble with beds these days. They have so many more people who want to use them than there are beds. On page 70, you will notice at the bottom of the page something about Christian Education Day. You know that the Council on Christian Education has been sponsoring this day for a number of years. You see in here something of the emphases that we have been making since 1963. We want to call your attention to the emphasis for 1967. That is most important for us now. And as you realize from all the reports, the studies that have been made, that the number of young men and women who are volunteering for Christian vocational service is reducing rapidly, we need to begin thinking, if we have not already been doing so, about what we can do to encourage young people to listen more sensitively for the call of God's Spirit toward some Christian vocational service. And next year, this will again be our emphasis. That is Christian vocation, and the churches across the state, we are cordially hoping, will attempt to encourage their young people in this direction, and also will be thinking about the work of our schools as we bring our Christian Education Day offering for our colleges. Among other things that the Council on Christian Education attempts to sponsor, and as you already know, there are the 16 members of the General Board who are on the Council. There are the chairman of the trustees of the seven colleges, and the chairman, or rather the deans of the seven colleges, and the presidents. These make up the Council on Christian Education, along with some of the officers of the convention, ex officio members who are very valuable additions to our council. Now, the work of the council has led us into very serious study of what we are doing and how we are doing it over the past several years. And so we have had in progress through the various committees a study of our council operations. Among other things that has been done, there is the trustee manual that has been produced by our executive secretary of the council. And this trustee manual is in the hands of the trustees of all of our colleges, and many other college people are now seeking this trustee manual as something to assist them in bringing their trustees to understand something of the nature of the job that a trustee must undertake. Among other things, there is the thing we call the meeting, the departmental meetings, the interdepartmental meetings of the colleges. That is, all of the social science professors, teachers of all the seven colleges will have a conference this year. Perhaps some of the, all of the English people, all of the Romance language people of all the colleges will have a special meeting in which they go into studies about the business of teaching their particular discipline. These departmental meetings have come to mean a great deal in the understanding that the men in the same disciplines in the, the several colleges have come to have one for another and for increasing their own activity in their field. Among other things that North Carolina and Southern Baptists have been studying in the past year is this matter of education. What is it and how does it work and how are we going to continue? The Baptist Education Study Task. And you've been hearing it called BEST. To tell us something about this, Brother Ben Fisher will again come to speak to us.
President, Mr. Tomlinson, I shall be very brief. Let me say by way of introduction that perhaps contrary to popular opinion, the number one problem in American higher education today is not finances, it is not the growing teacher shortage, it is not curriculum, it is not even the population explosion, it is not even in the area of control and relationships. The number one problem in American higher education today is the problem of purpose. Both the Christian and the secular college and university are having to come to grips with this problem. The most thoughtful educators place the crisis of purpose far above the crisis of finance and the crisis of expanding enrollments. The question again, being universally asked, is this: what are we educating for? 20 years ago, the Harvard Report on General Education in a Free Society says that a good citizen is one who is able to think effectively, to communicate thought, to make relevant judgments, to discriminate among values. Yet this report frankly admits that the purely scientific approach alone is inadequate in the realm of values. We believe that the old questions are still valid. What is man? What is his destiny? Who is an educated man? The Christian college, with its unique view of God and man and history, is also having to rethink its purpose and mission in the terms of the revolutionary social, economic, cultural, and political changes into which it has been thrust. There is strong evidence that the faculties and administrators of Christian colleges should address themselves just as vigorously and frequently to re-examining their Christian aim and purpose as they do to studying and adjusting their academic roles. It is as logical for the denomination to expect from time to time a restatement of religious aims and objectives as it is for the accrediting agencies to require at regular intervals a reevaluation of the academic goals and objectives. Now, our council in North Carolina 2 years ago undertook such a self-study. You have a copy of that report. For the first time in the history of the Southern Baptist Convention, we're trying to do this for all of our colleges. And I will have time just to mention briefly the outline. But let me say that the final meeting will be held in June of this year in Nashville. 3 seminars were conducted in this state last year. 3 will be conducted in the state this year. And the findings of this committee will be published and made available. These are the areas of concern: the Christian basis, the theological basis for higher education, preface to the philosophy of Southern Baptist higher education, faith and learning, the academic scope of Christian higher education, the Christian college teacher, financing Christian higher education, college and denominational relationships, and academic freedom and academic responsibility. These are difficult areas, but some real effort is being made to restudy and rethink and restate our aims and objectives. And we hope that within the next few months, the findings of this committee will be published and will be available to you.
Thank you, Brother Fisher. We come now to